With that introduction, so let's talk a little bit about Merakit and find as much other connections as we can. So Merakit, as we've seen, every malacha that we learn has its own internal significance, but also has significance in how it affects the relationship of all the malachas. It's something particularly fascinating about Shabbos. Any malacha is an individual limud, but it also tends to have some general Shabbos relevance that permeates throughout all the other malachas. So we found that a lot, specifically in the malachas that we've done so far. And Merakit is especially the case, because Merakit is somewhat of a smaller malacha in terms of its own details. It won't take us so long, but it is a malacha that has a lot of significance just in terms of understanding the relationship of malachos to each other. This is the last of the three separation malachos, and as we've seen, it's been somewhat of a challenge to figure out how they're connected to each other, what's the difference, how they separated from each other, what makes them one, what makes them three. And this will close off that discussion. And perhaps, as we'll see, the relationship between Merakit and Borer, in some ways, Zorah and Borer are a natural pair within the three. And we saw that when we talked about the Balamor, who focused on specifically those two. And in some ways, as we'll see, Borer and Merakit seem to be a natural pair. And perhaps that's what will come out actually today, the relationship and the difficulty of distinguishing between Borer and Merakit specifically is a major question. So this malacha has a lot to do in terms of how malachas distinguish themselves from one another, how possibly they define one another. And I think in that case, we may find a unique aspect here, something we haven't really seen so far. You know, we've seen so far sometimes malachos relate to each other, and that maybe one is specifically in preparation for another, one is maybe after another. Here, it's in terms of the concept that defining one forces us to sharpen our definition of another, or perhaps leads to certain categorizations in the case of another. So Merakit and the Merakit Borer relationship may open up new avenues in terms of the concept of both the Shabbos. So, as we always do, so let's start off with trying to translate into English. So, what is Merakit? How would we translate it into English? Sammy? Sifting. Anyone want to try anything else besides sifting? Okay, that's the first time the definition has gone completely unchallenged. So, does that show that this is simpler or more complex? We'll have to find out. What does sifting mean?
Well, sifting usually means you're trying to pick out what you like from what you don't.
Ah, okay, so now you're putting a ocho mitoch psolas connotation on top of it. Okay.
Also, it has to do with things that are thick, smaller, bigger, different sizes.
Okay, very good.
Consistencies.
Okay, so sifting specifically has a connotation that you do your selection through size differentiation.
Correct.
Okay. Very good.
It also can be flipped sometimes because it's based on size differentiation.
So it can be flipped to say what?
Meaning you can be taking psoas from the ocho.
Okay.
Depends on what it is.
Well, so then what you're saying is that really it's not about good from bad or bad from good at all, then it's really about size.
It's
about using the power of size to, okay. So, you know, that might be itself a valid definition, right? Maybe sifting is separating through size differential. Right? Basically using the difference in size to figure out what goes in one place. So you get basically vending machines that do that with coins, right? Is that called sifting? Vending machines that figure out, at least in earlier technology,
it has to be something that's together.
Okay, so you're saying the definition of sifting means it has to be a taruvus that's separated, not just identifying something by size. Okay, anybody want to add to that at all? Anybody want to take anything away from that? Okay, so that seems as good as any working definition in order to start the conversation. So what we've seen already discussed a little bit, and what we'll see discussed more sharply in our Gemara, and when I say our Gemara, so we're going to end up emphasizing much less Ayin Gimel and much more Kuf Lamed Ches, and a little bit Kuf Lamed Tes, where the Gemara gets into these issues a little bit more. But what is the difference so far between Borer and Merakeh, Borer Zohar Merakeh, most specifically Borer Merakeh? We've talked in the past about trying to figure out some of the differences, and we've saw that some Rishonim suggest different differences, not necessarily arguing with each other, maybe arguing with each other, maybe not, maybe just they all agree that all the differences are there and they just bring them up in different contexts. So what differences are relevant in terms of trying to figure out Borer or Merakeh? What do we find in Rishonim? Sammy?
Which you leave and what you're separating from what?
Okay, so that's the point you mentioned before. Again, the Ochel Mitoch Psolos and Psolos Mitoch Ochel. Is that what you mean, the good and the bad?
Yeah, that is some of the Rishonim discuss.
Yeah, we find that a little bit less in terms of the initial... you're right. Okay, it's true that when we said before that Zohra and Borer were joined together more than Merakeh, it's because they both seem to be about chasing the bad away from the good, which is what prompted the Bala Mor's question, right? That it's a Malach Shinsvichol Gufa. And Merakeh seems less to be about that. Okay, so in that context, you do find that in Rishonim, it's true. What else? When they try to just lay out the difference between the three? Jonathan?
Merakeh involves a sieve.
Okay, a sieve, or specifically a sieve, or generally a kli, right? That the Merakeh seems to involve a sieve, yes, and the idea of a kli specifically, that's something that some of the Rishonim emphasize. For example, Rabbeinu Hananel and Ayin Dalet emphasizes that, right, and others bring that up as a major issue. And we find some confusion there also, because then the three go that Zohra is Baruach, and Merakeh is B'kli, and Borer is Biyad, but of course we know that Borer Biyad is one of the exclusions from Borer. So we'll find some linguistic confusion like that in this sugya as well, in a very strong sense. But at least in some level that we can understand it, that Merakeh seems to be very Kli specific. So if we take that reason, why should it be Kli specific? Is that just a technicality? Is it like we find the Avos told those distinctions by Choresh? You know, by other things, where sometimes a kli is one thing, without a kli is another thing, or is there a fundamental difference? Is there something that actually defines it in this kli focus? Sammy?
It could be that it's specific, because Merakeh, like an example of Merakeh is taking flour and removing the not as good flour from the better flour.
Right.
So it's not saying that anything is per se bad in the mix that you had before. It's making something much better. Or like the shmarim from the wine.
So I'm not sure if you're saying it's more subjective? More subjective enhancement rather than objective?
No, it will be an objective enhancement, but the enhancement won't make it from completely inedible to completely edible.
See, that's interesting. It's not, you know, that distinction that comes up on Kuf Lamed Tes, right? That's what you're drawing on. The Mishnah talks about wine that can be consumed with or without. So we'll get into that a little bit, the level of Kbeda. So you're saying that here, this type of tool, if we're going to say that kli is our emphasis, that somehow correlates to level of edibility? Is that the case?
I mean, because your ability to remove shmarim is dependent on the kli. It's not necessarily that you'd be able to do that as well, or maybe not at all, if you're going to go with the Yerushalmi on the idea of borer with your hand or with something else.
Okay, so I think you're saying something different than you were saying a second ago. Unless I'm misunderstanding you. That the question is that maybe Merakeh is a specific malacha which refers to a certain accomplishment that really is not shayach biyad. You really can't do it. I think a little bit different than I understood you a minute ago.
Okay.
That maybe the kli, it's not just, okay, there's, you know, like kotzer we saw, you know, there's a kotzer, there's an av, there's kotzer with a kli, and they told a tolda of kotzer biyad, and we talked about tochein. There was also a distinction about kli and yad, and maybe it was at a different madrega. It was a deraisa rabbanan rather than av tolda. But in both those cases, okay, so we could imagine accomplishing the malacha with the kli, and we could imagine accomplishing it with our hand, even if it's less natural. But here, maybe it's more fundamental than that. That maybe the malacha is defined specifically by an accomplishment that really needs a kli. That the kli is inherent to its accomplishment. which is similar in a sense to Zohreh, right? Even though we talked about maybe you could naturally produce the wind, you know, by blowing, but Zohreh also involves a certain level of accomplishment that really you can't do without its key component. So Zohreh Baruach, maybe that's what we're saying, that then Borer really is something that you could be doing with your fingers, even if it has a kli also. And Zohreh requires the component of the wind. And Merakeid requires a level of sophistication that can only be accomplished through a kli. Is that a possible distinction so far? Maybe. Okay. Adam, you want to comment on that?
No.
Okay. So that's one distinction that we find. What other distinctions do Rishonim bring up? Again, this is some, you know, we saw this in earlier cases, like Rashi and Ein Hamid Beis, for example. Or the Ran. Sorry?
The substance that you're separating.
The subject of the separation. And so, therefore, if that's the case, so Borer deals with more, right, Tsraros, let's say, and when it comes to Merakeid, so we're talking about primarily what?
Flour.
And so, does that correlate to the other interpretation, the idea of the Kli? Is that a different distinction, or is that a partner or parallel distinction, Adam?
I'm just wondering, when we're trying to state, we're trying to like understand the Rishon, what we say, are they basing what they say off like Gemara's? Is there
a little bit, as we'll see. Some cases yes, some cases no.
What's the basis of our
Right. So you know, a little bit. I'm up with everything. Actually, there is with everything in Shabbos. You have two points of reference. Right. You have whatever the Talmud tells us, which sometimes is plentiful and sometimes is less. And you also have the Mishkan model. And so you try to figure out based on looking at the Mishkan, so what stage this malacha took place, and therefore what happens. So in general, it's a good question to keep focused on when we talk about anything in Hilchos Shabbos. It seems that anybody who expresses an opinion on the definition of a malacha is working, like, say, on the Rishonim level. We don't have earlier Rishonim to comment upon. So when our Rishon comments on a definition of a malacha, it seems like he's coming from those two points. Right? He's coming from the point of either working off of what Shah says, and sometimes that's less helpful. Sometimes there's less of that than there is at other times. And to a certain extent, and maybe it's more the case here, is they're working off the Mishkan. Okay, so we know that the Mishkan, this took place at a specific stage. Let's stick with Pas for a second, just because it's simpler, assuming us endure the Pas. So we could try to figure out, okay, so since, and that whole question we just mentioned a second ago, right, that in general we're working off the Mishkan. So we're working off either Gemara's or the Mishkan. So here, we're forced to do that much more so than the other 36 malachas. Right? Because we know our Gemara tells us that these are three essentially related malachos that only get their individual identities because of the Mishkan. So there's even more reason for us to look back to the Mishkan and to try to search through and say, okay, let's get as specific as we need to with what's happening there and look at where there is a difference between action A and action B. So that's a big part of it. So looking at the Mishkan's usage of Merakeid, what can we identify within Merakeid that distinguishes it from the other two? So if we say that it's kemach, if we say that it's flour-like material, so is that a whole different ballgame than talking about the kli, or is that tied into the kli? Is that just the other half of the sentence? Johnny?
I would say it's tied in. I mean, you can't separate the flour. It's like a physical necessity to use this kli.
All right, so it's very possible these are two halves of the same coin. Right. Right, this is the same sentence, that basically you separate flour using a kli, and therefore the malacha that's relevant to flour or to substances like that is that which is uses a kli. So maybe this is all one theme, that you find that we use a kli for flour, therefore Merakeid is both flour-like substances and kli-related. Hi.
How do you connect those two
then, since the only
Maybe you need a kli in order to do this kind of work with flour. Maybe you can't effectively separate them with your hands or with the wind. And therefore, the saying it's a kli is another way of saying that flour-like substances are going to be the subject of this malacha. So that's its question in itself. So flour-like substances. So how are we going to find flour-like substances? What is it about flour that puts it in its own category?
Very fine.
Okay, so that's probably one of the major elements. So it's very fine. And anything else? Any other characteristics of flour? Yes, sir.
I circled. We need a machine to separate it.
Okay, you need a machine to separate it because it's. But if it's fine, does that mean the machine is more or less necessary? How does the think about that for a second? So how does the fine tie into the machine?
So let's
I just want to try to understand the nature of that relationship, right? So let's say if it's very fine, so does that mean that it does the work on its own? This is an issue that's going to come up, we'll see, right? To what extent does it happen automatically to a certain extent? Does it need your work? Does the kli do it on its own? How does this connect, let's say, to liquid? Is flour like liquid? Is it different than liquid?
Meaning, yeah, could be that it's not like the like you were saying about the wine. Mm-hmm. It was like something like that. So as I was saying, that you can drink it without it. You don't need per se to have it miraculous because you can just separate the liquid by yourself. But it's not the same. That's why.
You're bringing another consideration. You're saying that you don't need to do it because you can do it a different way. Which is not the same thing as what the Mishnah Kufla Matess is going to talk about, where you just don't care about it. You're willing to handle it.
I mean, you could just take it out in small portions.
But that's not what the Mishnah is talking about. The Mishnah is talking about that you're happy drinking it that way. And it says two different degrees of not needing it. You don't need it because you could live with it, or you don't need it because there's another way to do it. So, what we've seen so far is distinctions that the Rishonim brought up just in terms of trying to define Borer and the other two partners. So to go further in this discussion, so we'll need to draw a little bit on the very interesting Gemara in Kuf Lamed Ches Amud Aleph, which I hope you've had a chance to see. We'll look at it quickly together. Right, that the Gemara talks about Tluya. Right, so you have this Mishmeris that is used to strain out wine. And it is going to suspend it in the air, and you're going to pour wine through it in order to purify the wine, in order to get rid of the sediment that's in the wine. So are you allowed to do that? So no, but what does the Mishnah say? It's machlokas. Right? According to the Mishnah, Rabbi Elazar says, yes, you can do this. The difference between Yontif and Shabbos, just whether you can hang it up in the first place. But Rabbi Elazar's opinion is, nosin l'tzliya v'Shabbos, you can pour through this on Shabbos. V'chachome omrim, disagree on both. Ain tolnef mishmeres biyantif yeh nosim l'tzuyah b'shabbos. So the Gemara in Kuf Lamed Ches Amud Aleph talking about that din. So Gemara says, so what's the story? Yibayelahu shimer mai. So let's say you are going to do this. You're going to desetify, if that's a word, the wine. So mai amar of kahana shimer chayiv chatas. Yeah, that's a full blown iser d'oraisa. So you're chayiv chatas for that. So maske for Rav Sheshes. That's quite a range than in the Mishnah. So apparently, usually we have more narrow distinctions. So you're saying that the two opinions of the Mishnah, they disagree from one end to the other. According to Belazar, it's mutter, and according to the Chachamim, it's a full-blown Isser Daraisa, not an Isser Darabana, but a Chiyuv Chatas, it's the whole Shemay. So, okay, that's the initial question. Is that a Shayach distinction? The Gemara says, yeah, you have such a thing. Don't be surprised. People can argue pretty vehemently and broadly. And it brings another example. Lamaloha Re Yishol Zav, Remeir Machayv Chatez, Rabbalaz Tzar Yishar Lechachila. Mahi, the Tanya, Lo Teitse Yisha Be Yishol Zav, Yivetz Lechayev Chatez. We're talking about a type of jewelry, a question of whether the woman can walk outside with it or not. So she's chayev eschatas to Rabbi Meir. V'chamo omer melo seitzei v'miratza p'tura. Rabbi Elazar omer yotza irish isha b'ir shalzav l'chadchila. So you find, okay, there's a range of opinions. There's three opinions, but still the point is they do range between being mutter legamri and being a iser doraisa. Fine. So then the Gemara says, okay, so let's say that's true. So if we follow this view of Chachamim against Rabbi Elazar, and we say it's not only not mutter, but it is asur midaraisa and zechi of chatas, so here the Gemara wants to know the question that's relevant to us. So mishumai masrinan be. Right, what hasra do we give for this malacha? And this in general is a question, just a quick review, especially if you weren't here last semester. We talked about this a little bit, about the Gemara telling us that there is a necessity to use the av when you give hasra. So when you give hasra for a malacha, you tell somebody that he's violating an iser deraisa and he's subject to punishment. Do you have to identify the malacha that's being violated? So this was a machlokas I showed him. And there were some Rishonim, Rashi sounds like this, and says, oh, you see from this Gemara, that apparently, not just this Gemara, but Gemara's like this, Gemara's throughout Shabbos and Moed Katan and elsewhere, that say, what Hasra do you give? Then it sounds like you got to give a Hasra that involves the Av. And it was a Machlokas and Rishonim in general. The Rambam's view is that you don't have to name the Isser at all, you just have to tell somebody that he's violating an Isser that he's going to get punished for. A lot of other Rishonim think you do have to name the Isser. But there is a view that's more extreme than that Rashi sounds like in some places, that not only when it comes to Shabbos you have to name the Isser, you have to name the Malacha. And that's a little bit of a Parshat Vayakel topic, maybe it'll come up in Chumash a little bit next week also. But Tosfos, if you recall, and we'll get back to Tosfos because it's relevant to other points here, but Tosfos and Ayin Gimel Amud Beis, Tosfos says, do not assume from Gemaras like this that you have to use the Av, but it just means that if you want to use the Av, you got to use the right Av. So in general, it was a machlokas we showed him what the significance of these Gemaras is. Right? Is it trying to tell you that you have to identify the Av? Because why do we care about any of this? And maybe halacha in 2012, we don't care so much. Right? Why do we care what malacha it is when somebody's violating the malacha? So if we are pretty sure it's one malacha or the other, so why do we care which one? And so if we know that it's definitely one of the malachas, so it shouldn't necessarily matter what malacha it is. So sometimes it matters because malachas, as we've seen, have different details. So once we know what category it belongs to, so if it's ain blank ba'ochlin or ain blank achar blank or ain blank elabudulik harka, so then we'll know if there's an exception here. But if that's not the case, so why do we care what malacha it is? So some Rishonim will say we care because in the Bizman Onshin, we have to know what malacha to name in order to give hasra. And Tosfos's position is that no, that's not true. That you can get hasra without naming the malacha. The issue is, if you decide to be more specific, more helpful to the defendant, and tell him what the malacha is, and you name the wrong malacha, then the hasra is nullified. Why? Because it looks like you are making fun of him. And I've mentioned a few times, Jonathan had a strong kash on that, really that comes from this Gemara specifically. But his kash also gives some perspective to how to relate to this sugya. That it's funny to say that. Tosfos says that if you name the wrong malacha, it looks like you're making fun of the guy. So our Gemara is talking about Borer or Merakid, which, as we see, are barely distinguishable malachas. Malachas that we have a very hard time telling the difference. So the guy is such a lamdin, that he's a Michal Shabbos who's such a lamdin, that if you say borer when you mean to say merakeh, or merakeh when you mean to say borer, that he's going to think you're joking, he's going to think it's other, it's perv Torah. Right? So that's, yet again, that's another other connection for our Gemara. It involves turning things upside down, joking, wine, and dancing. So if that's the case, that's a little hard to believe. So the question is well taken. But for the purposes of understanding our sugya, so it really means that apparently we should be even bigger lamdanim, and that the difference between borer and merakeh is more significant than we've yet appreciated, and that there is some very fundamental difference that may give the wrong impression if we use the wrong one, may really cause the person to think that we're coming from Pluto. So what exactly is the case here? So Mishumai Masrinan Bay. So Rabba Omar Mishum Borer. Rabbi Zeira Omer Mishum Merake. Right, so according to Rabbi, it's Borer. According to Rabbi Zeira, it's Merake. So Amar Rabba Kavasi Didim Mistavra. So Rabbi says, I make sense. Not surprisingly, he agrees with himself. Right, he says, Ma Darko Shel Borer No Tel Ochel Miniach Apsoles. Af Hachanami No Tel Es Ochel Miniach Apsoles. Right, so that's very surprising. Why is that so surprising? Sorry? Och metop souls and mutter, right? So we're really challenging our definitions of Borer with some of these Merakeh Gemaras, because, or the existence of Merakeh is really challenging Borer, because here we see Borer, when we talked about that Malacha, so we saw that it seemed to be defined by not having three things, right? By not being a biyad, or let's say the Malacha itself is defined by being Bekli, Solos mitoch ochel, and not miyad, and two of those definitions are challenged by Merake, because we saw the Rishonim that say borer is davka biyad, as opposed to biyad being an exclusion, and here ochel mitoch solos, which was a heter for borer, here Gemara is saying that's derech borer, right? Derech borer is ochel mitoch solos, so that's difficult, right? So how do we make that match? How do we work that in with our definition of Borer being the opposite of that? So any suggestions how that works, Jonathan?
Tosfos in Ayin Daled has this whole sheet of what's majority. So that would
correct, be. Right. So that's one important distinction. So that takes a little bit more to explain, so let's hold off for that, and I'll come right to that in a second. But one other way, if you don't accept Tosfos, and we'll spell out Tosfos in a second, what's another way to do it? Yeah?
Stop completely.
That, okay, so that once the Kli part is integral to the definition, and that we wouldn't say this if you weren't already acknowledging the Kli involvement.
Yeah, I mean, that's the way at least we accept all of them. I might say you need all three, so.
Right, so if you assume, right, which wasn't 100% clear from the Rishonim, right, but if you assume that you need all three in order to allow Borer, so then the fact that the Gemara challenges any one by itself doesn't necessarily have to throw us for a loop. We could also say that it depends which Mahalach you liked. Right, that we saw that when we saw the Haterim for Borer, so there were two broad ways to understand it, right, broadly speaking. That either we could say that Derech Brera is without these conditions, and that lacking them is not Derech Brera. So that's difficult from this Gemara a little bit, because here the Gemara is specifically saying Derech Brera is Ochel Mitoch Psoles. So to say that the Derech interpretation becomes a little harder. If you want to say that it's not about being derech borer, but it's about what is derech achilu, that's mutter, so then that's a little bit easier for this Gemara, because you could say, in a hanami, this is whatever it is. Whether it happens to also be derech borer, maybe yes, maybe no. But the point is, when it's mutter, it's derech achilu, and the factors all come together to make it derech achilu, so we don't care if any one of those also happened to be derech borer by itself. Yes, sir. Well, you see, we saw two explanations as to why things are mutter with the three conditions, right? Either because it's not derech brera, or because it is derech achila. So this Gemara is more of a challenge to the derech brera interpretation than the derech achila one. Because to say those are all elements of not being derech borer, it sounds like somewhat of a contradiction to this Gemara, which says that ochel mitoch psoles is derech borer. Maybe, not that there's not an answer, we'll get into Tosfos in a second, but it sounds like it's somewhat of a challenge to that position. But if we say the heter is based on derech achila, so then that's less of a problem, because it could be the nechanami, it's ochel mitoch psoles is derech borer, but when all three conditions are there, it's also derech achila, and derech achila is an independently significant reason to allow it.
Meaning you need all three in order for it to be derech achila?
Yeah, but the point is that it could be both. It could be both derech borer and derech achila. The heter is based on the derech achila, not on it not being derech borer. Follow the issue is if we say it's not derech borer, we have to deal with this Gemara that says it is derech borer. If we say that it's derech achila, it could be both. It could be both derech borer, but mutter because it's derech achila. Okay, so in terms of what Jonathan brought up, Tosus's point, in terms of then dealing with it, if you want to deal with it. So Tosfos does deal with it in a way that's would be very significant lahalacha if it was accepted. Right, so Tosfos here on Kuf Lamed Ches says, don't ask about this because look at what I already said on Ayin Daled Amud Aleph, you should remember from there. And on Ayin Daled Amud Aleph, he asks this question, And Tosa says that it all depends on what is the majority, right? So we saw this in the context of Borer, right? The Tosa saying Dabin Alf Borer Ba'ochel Ochel Mitoch Psoles, and Tosa over there starts Mashma Da Ochel Mitoch Psoles Ein Derech Breber Bekach, right? So it sounds like what it's saying from our Gemara that Ochel Mitoch Psoles is not Derech Breber. Bekasha Lakamel Kuflam Chesman Alf Marina My Darkish Borer Ba'ochel Mitoch Psoles. That it is the Derech of Borer. So Yesh Lomar, the Hassam over here, Argamar now Kufam Chesam and Aleph, Psolus Meruba ala Ochel. If you have more garbage than good stuff, so then Ochel Mitoch Psolus is Derech Breir. Right? Taking out the smaller amount, that's always Derech Breir. So the Hassam, and the Gemara we're looking at now, is B'Meshamer Ayri. And there, that's a situation where you're dealing with Meshamer, with straining out the wine. Apparently, that's a situation of Psolos Meruba al HaOchel. And therefore, Ochel Mitoch Psolos is Derech Breira, but usually it's the opposite. So basically, what Tosfos is saying, which is not the way it's been accepted the Halacha, but that the Gemara doesn't mean here to say, this is a very important point in this Gemara, right? It doesn't mean to say that Ochel Mitoch Psolos is Derech Breira. It just means to say that Derech Breira is always taking the taking the smaller from the bigger. And the other way around is not. So therefore the Gemara here is not making a statement specifically about whether it's Ochel or Psolos. It's making a statement about what the majority is, which could be a very significant statement. Okay, so that's part of what we'll have to consider when we try to figure out the definitions between the two. To what extent is it Ochel-Psolos distinction, or is it a majority-minority distinction? It becomes an important point. Then the Gemara goes on to say that Reb Zeira said, Am Reb Zeira kavasi didi mistavra. What I said makes more sense. Ma darko shel merakeh psolos milamala v'ochel milamata. So in merakeh, the derech there, as opposed to Borer apparently, is the garbage is below and the good stuff is on top, right? Because you take the sieve and all the stuff you don't want falls out and the good stuff stays on top. That's what merakeh means. So too, that's what's going on here. That's what's going on here. Afachanami, psolos milamala. Don't I say this the right way first? Meraki, the bad stuff stays up and the good stuff goes down. So here too, afachanami, psolos milamala, v'ocha milamata. So here too, in this case with the wine, so the bad stuff stays up and the good stuff goes down. So therefore, that is connected to meraki. So why is that significant? Why the focus on that? Is that just a technicality again? Why should that be relevant to defining the malacha? Why do we care what direction things go in? Sorry? Right, but how significant is this, the definition that we're going to call it derech? You know, so why is this, why do we care? So yeah, we put things in this folder and that folder, we put things in the green box and the blue box. What difference does it make, top, bottom? Is there a significance? Is it just a technicality, or does this somehow go to the definition of what's going on? Donnie?
It might change whether it looks like you're storing it or not.
Oh, okay, so that's interesting. So we want to explain that a little bit more?
Well, if you're getting rid of the bad stuff, so then it doesn't look, or, I mean, really you could say it either way, that's part of the problem, but if I'm specifically taking something, so then I guess you could argue that I'm planning on keeping that for later. I don't know, you could really argue either way, though.
Okay, but even if you could argue it either way, maybe that's the issue, right? Maybe that is relevant. So what you're kind of tapping into is that maybe all of these malachos have a distinction specifically Borer related. So we know that Borer, we're very interested in whether you want to use it now or you want to use it later. And maybe this one of these is more connected to later usage. So it's definitely a valid approach. The problem is it probably won't end up being so true here. Because you said that correctly, that maybe you could see it either way, but also we'll also see that probably a key element in merakeh that distinguishes it from Borer, we'll see if we get to it today or next time, but a key element probably is that there is no heter of miyad for merakeh, But I think you're on an important track in saying that maybe there's something here that fundamentally distinguishes it from a Borer fundamental. So as we'll see, as the Egle Tal taps into, maybe there is an Ochel Mitoch Psoles significance there. Maybe these are two different ways. You know, the first day, so it was also talking about Ochel Mitoch Psoles, and Psoles Mitoch Ochel, but maybe up and down also is relevant to that somehow. Right? That maybe that's a little more likely, that whether you have the good stuff on the bottom or the good stuff on the top, maybe that taps in a little bit to Ochel Mitoch Psoles kinds of distinctions. Sammy?
Well, maybe you could be saying that since the psoles goes down, that's not your, you're not doing anything.
Oh, so now you're, that's also very interesting and very relevant.
You're not doing the act of, but you're putting it in a situation where it will become separated, not that you're separating.
Okay, so that itself, as we'll see, that's an interesting point, and we'll have to figure out exactly how much that makes a difference, which is different than what we just alluded to. Right, so what we said a second ago was that maybe this has to do with Borer definitions and the like. You're bringing in a whole different issue, but a very relevant issue, that maybe the question of how much happens on its own is relevant here. And maybe that's what's going to direct our attention in terms of the different malachas. So what we'll have to, when we'll start, and we'll have to fill in a little bit next time, is maybe you had a chance to see there is a major differentiation in Rishonim in how to understand this machlokas. Right? Anyone want to help me out? The Rishonim have a pretty major machlokas, how to understand what this machlokas is. What's Rabbah's view and what's Rav Zeira's view? And I'll give you a hint. There isn't much machlokas about Rav Zeira's view. There's a lot of machlokas about Rabbah's view. Sammy, you want to say something?
Whether you can be master for the other.
Yes, that's a major issue, right? So if you look at, we'll get more into which Rishonim say which next time because we're almost out of time, but we'll just give one representation of either camp today. So see Rashi over here, Rashi commenting on the opinion that says Mishum Borer, on the first opinion.
It's Rashi and
Kuflam Ches. Yes, Rashi and Kuflam Ches. Right, so if you look at the three Rashis in a row, starting from Mishum Borer, so according to Rabbah's opinion, the Mishum Borer, the Hainami Borerhu, this is also Borer, Kavasi Didi Mestavra, Di Asru Bei Mishum Borer Hasrahi. Right, that if you use Borer for the Hasra, it is a Hasra. Not necessarily excluding if you say Merakit. Just that Borer works too. And the next Rashi, he goes into a little bit more. Ula Rabba, that's probably a Girsa problem. Ula Rabba, Hua Dinami, Di Asrube Mishum Merakid, Hevi Hasra. Right, so if Zeira says it should be Merakid, and Rabba says Rashi agrees. Right, Rashi agrees, Rashi claims that Rabba agrees that either one works. You could use either Merakid or Borer. Aval Rabbi Zeira, Yasrube Mishum Borer, Lav Hasrahi. Delo dami laborer. Sha ocha lamata vipsolas lamala, mashain ke biborer, kidney sha psolas lamata. So that's a very fundamental issue. That according to Rav Zeira, Rava is more pluralistic than Rav Zeira. Right? Rava says that it can be whatever you want. It can be borer, it can be merakid, they're both good. But Rav Zeira is more specific. And Rav Zeira says, no, it's only Merakid. The fact that you do it this way, upside down, that's not an emphasis on Derech Merakid. That is something that is alien to Borer. That's something that makes it not Borer. And therefore, according to him, Borer is not going to be an effective Hasra. And we'll get into more next time. A number of Rishonim agree with Rashi, but a number of Rishonim don't. And in terms of the later Svarim, there's equal consternation on both sides. But the Tosfos that we alluded to before, Ayin Gimel Amud Beis, which Mishum Zoreah, and Tosfos says that Ein Lo Chiyach Mikan, that Tzarech Lahasra told him Mishum Av, right? We mentioned this Tosfos before, that there is no Chiyav to say specifically the use the Av when you give Hasra. So here then he makes this point that it's just if you use the wrong one, then it looks like you're making fun of him. And Tosfos here says that, just to pick a line out from the middle, Rabba o Amar Mishum Borer, Avalab Hasru Bo Mishum Merakid, Pater kevan de masrehu mishum davar she'eino domelo husover shu maligbo. Right, so here Tosis is saying really very differently than Rashi. Rashi says that according to Rabbi, it could be either borer or merakid. It's only Rizeru who cares which one it is. And Tosis just said the opposite, that the whole significance of this Gemara is that you can't use the wrong av, they'll think you're making fun of that. And that's what Rabba means. Rabba says, say borer, don't say merakid. If you say merakid, the guy will think you're making fun of him. So it goes back again to Jonathan's question. Rashi thinks they're similar enough that they're interchangeable. Right? Specifically, this is going even beyond the Gemara statement that the three malachas are initially linked. But Rashi telling us that two malachas are similar enough they're interchangeable. And Tosfos saying they're so not interchangeable that this Mechal Shabbos is going to know enough how not interchangeable they are that he's going to think you're making fun of him. So that's quite a distinction. We'll have to see how that distinction plays out and understand a little bit more about the relationship of Borer and Merakid when we continue and see how all this comes together. Okay, so again, so we decided that tomorrow, Seder at 9, Shir will start at 11:45.